Greetings to each of you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Good that I can be here. Bill said, my subject is marriage and family enrichment. When a couple brothers pass out these index cards to everyone, somebody else. Now, I tell you what I would like to have you do. I didn't give you enough, maybe. I'd like to have everyone have an index card. Listen, I got plenty of them. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down on an index card the three things that you think is the most common causes of divorce or friction in the family. Now, there's a lot of various things that causes this. But I would like to have you write down number one, two, three. Now, of what you think is the most common causes of family friction and divorce. Now, not necessarily that you've got this problem, but what you think is. Now, you don't need to sign your name unless you want to, but I would like to have you put down male or female. And I'd like to have these back, if I could, by supper time, so I can tabulate them. And then we'll talk about the results tomorrow. If you get them done today, well, that's, or tonight, that's fine. But I like to tabulate them, and I want to talk tomorrow, or quite a little bit, about marriage problems and so on. And you singles, you fill it out too. And I'd like to have you do that. I've also got some handouts here I'll give a little bit later. I might just mention, I don't have enough of these to go around. It's barley fields. Written by Leonard Lindsay. And the gist of this is that no matter how small we might think certain things are unimportant, certain things are in the Word of God, we shouldn't give them up. The children of Israel risked their lives and they fought for this little barley field because it belongs to the Lord. So you can take those at your leisure. I've got a few little pamphlets here. My heart cries whole. And then I've got a book here, Dearly This One. What wives wish their husbands knew about women. Probably not much to take to do. Love life. And, how to be happy though married. And then I want to show this video by Jerry Smalley, The Incredible Work of a Woman. Now, I'd rather you didn't take these books out of the chapel, but you look them over. If you decide you wanted one, perhaps you could order it. Now, it's my prayer and it's my desire that I won't say anything, although I'm going to be pretty plain about a few things. But it's my prayer and my desire that I will not upset a marriage. Possibility you might have a little problem and it might touch on it. And whatever you do, don't one spouse say to the other what I told you so. Because I want to be a help. I've given some messages on this in our home assembly and some of the marriages are strengthened and so on. So bear that in mind. I want it to be a help and also to the single. So I sure don't want to upset anything. Now, when you get a new car, what comes with it? Come on now.
A motor.
What?
A motor.
A motor. Well, what else comes with it? What else comes with it? A manual, an instruction manual. You're supposed to keep that. And that instruction manual tells you how to operate it. tells you maybe how to fix it if something goes wrong. What comes with a marriage? Come on now. A marriage manual, and it's right here. That's the marriage manual. Now, does that new car you get ever need anything? Can you just use it for years and years and never do anything about it? No, you keep it tuned up. You get it serviced. You get it repaired. And you know we need to work on our marriages. Sometimes they need some tuning up. And again, are you using the marriage manual? Now, sometimes you have a car for several years and you still go back to the marriage manual. And even though you've been married quite a little while, you may still need the marriage manual. You know, there's lots of marriages falling apart in midlife. Midlife. What about David? King David. Was he a teenager when he impregnated a woman? At least midlife. Lots of marriages are falling apart in midlife. I was surprised to read in Newsweek magazine a few months ago that the majority of the teenage girls are getting pregnant from adult men. I was shocked. We need to be on guard and so on. Here's a recent clipping out of the Denver Post. Building marriage is an everyday affair. Everyday affair. And so we need to bear this in mind some. About a year and a half ago, I got a phone call. Now, I knew this couple was away from the Lord. But when the phone call came in, she says, have you got a little time to talk? Well, yes. She says, are you sitting down? I says, yes. And then she told me that at Christmas time, the day before, day after, her husband says, I want a divorce. She was so shocked. She tried to commit suicide. She was taken to the hospital. And they would only let her out of the hospital if she agreed to take counseling. And I counseled that woman week after week for a good long time. But here was the shocking thing. She says, I never had any idea that my marriage was in jeopardy. In jeopardy. And so, I hope I can be a help to you. How is your marriage going? And so on. Now, a year or two ago, I got a phone call from a young man by the name of Steve Johnson. And he says, my wife and I are having some problems. And could we meet with you? And they says, I would like to have you show us from the Bible what the Bible says about our problems. Now, I appreciated that call. He didn't say, I want your advice about our problems. He didn't ask me for my, didn't ask answers for me. He says, we want to meet with you. And, we want you to show us what the Bible says about our problem. In other words, let's go to the marriage guidebook. And I really did really appreciate that call and that attitude. So I met with them and so on. Now, there's a kind of a proverbial saying that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So we want to think about preventing family breakups and also trying to enhance the whole. The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's prevention. See? And hopefully some of the things that we take up will be a help to us. And again, I sincerely hope and pray that these will be a blessing to you. You know, a good marriage is one of the most wonderful things in life. And probably some of you have really good marriages. But it's one of the most wonderful things in life that God has given us. But a bad marriage is just the opposite. Now, I've had a few sessions like this at various places. A few years ago, I was invited to a conference, Bill Casey, New Orleans. And when I got there, they informed me that they wanted to give a seminar on marriage and family problems. Well, I kind of burnt the midnight oil and went ahead with it. I didn't have any advance notice, but nevertheless, some seemed to get some help. I've attended a few seminars myself that was given for pastors and so on. And while I don't claim to be an expert on marriage counseling and so on, I have done quite a little bit of it. And I get the best results when I can get the husband and wife together. I remember in our home assembly a couple different times a wife came to me, they was ready to divorce their husband. I had a quite little talk with each one of them, and then after a certain amount of time, I said, can we get your husband here too? So we called the husband, and the husband came, and I had a chat with both of them, and divorce never went through. One spouse outlived the other one, but the other spouse is still together. So I've had a little bit, I have better success if I can get the two together, but of course that doesn't always help. I think that nearly 100% of marriages have some problems and some disappointments. A few years ago, a man that listens to me on the radio over at Goodland, he came to see me, and he wanted to get a divorce. Well, I says, do you have scripture grounds for divorce? Well, he says, no, we don't. He knew the Bible well enough. He knew he didn't have scripture grounds for divorce. But he says, I thought maybe you could find me a loophole. Well, I couldn't find him a loophole. But anyway, he says, you know, my wife is pretty. My wife is pretty. And one time I told her that, you know, you could have got a better man. Oh, well, she says, I knew that. So that was one thing they agreed on. They tell a story about a couple that returned from their honeymoon. And the husband said, see, while we was on the honeymoon, I noticed a couple faults about you. Oh, yes, he says, I know that, but if that had been my fault, I'd have got a better man. Well, I want to look at some important things about marriage. And by the way, I got some more handouts. Again, brethren, I'd like to have everyone have one of these. Now that is entitled Fundamental Scriptures Regarding Marriage. Now you can keep that. And Fundamental Scriptures Regarding Marriage. Not all of them, but some of the fundamental scriptures involved in marriage, or fundamental scriptures within the marriage guide. I'll go ahead while they're passing those out. Now, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her to the man. Now I'd like to call your attention to where he took a part of the body of the man. It was a rib. It wasn't from the head, suggesting dominance. It wasn't from the feet, suggesting trampling, but from the rib, near the heart, the place of affection. And Adam said, that's verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now this is one of the first instructions that we have in the marriage manual. Now, of course, I grew up in the infamous Dust Bowl days. And in those days, nearly everybody that got married moved in either with his folks or her folks. I had two brothers and one sister. Both my brothers, when they got married, moved in with his folks. When my sister got married, she moved in with his folks. I had forgotten it, although I was reminded of it later, that I had said, I'm not going to do that. And I didn't do it. When I got married, we had a very humble home, but we did not move in with parents. Leave father and mother and cleave unto the wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now this is one of the first instructions. A lot of marriage problems develop because of living with in-laws or whatnot. And this man that came to me from Goodland, that seemed to be his big problem, was a lot of friction from the wife. Now that's a very important thing. And that's re-emphasized in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, and I believe it's verse 5. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay? Now, also we learn from the marriage manual that a Christian should not marry a non-Christian. In Corinthians it tells us, be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then it gives the reason. The reason, because the unbeliever will likely, well, we get that in the Old Testament, lead the Christian away from the Lord. And oh, how many make this mistake. And oh, you young single, take this to heart. This is in the marriage manual. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Now, the devil's a pretty good deceiver. And so many young Christians have married a non-believer thinking that, well, they will work out. And after we get married, they will get saved. And this, that, and the t'other. You cannot expect God to bless disobedience. That person you think you love is more apt not to get saved if you marry them than if you don't. God does not have to cause a young single to marry an unbeliever in order that they might be saved. Now that's very, very important. Now I got a call about a year ago, I think it was, from a girl that used to be in our Sunday school. And she says, I want to get married. And I want you to perform the wedding. And I says to her, I says, well, this young man you're getting, going to marry, is he a Christian? She says, I have no idea. She hadn't looked at the marriage bag. So that is very, very important. Now, let's move on a little bit farther. Look at verse, I'm going down to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now concerning the things whereof I wrote unto you, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. In other words, premarital sex is a violation of the Word of God. I got a letter about a year ago from a young couple. In fact, I had performed their wedding, but in a card he sent me a birthday card. He wrote a letter in that, and he gave me the credit of some of the ministry I'd given on pointing out that marriage outside of the wedding bond is sin had helped him prevent it from getting involved in that. The marriage manual has never changed. Sex outside marriage bond is sin. The three dogs. Now, look at verse 7. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman his own husband. Now, that is not the best motive for getting married, but it is one scriptural reason for getting married, to keep sexually clean. Okay? Now, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise the wife unto the husband. Now, verse 4, the wife hath not power of their own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. Now, what is God telling us? God is telling us that sex, the wedding bond, is a mutual thing, and it should not be used as a punishment. Oh, I'm mad. Forget it tonight. I'm happy. We'll go ahead tonight. It's not to be used as a punishment or a favor. It's something that God has given to married couples. Okay? Now, let's go on. I'm going to look now at Ephesians chapter 5. Submitting, and I'm reading verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord.
verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
Now, this is in the marriage guide.
Okay? Therefore, as Christ is in subject to the church, so let the wife be also to their own husband in everything.
You know, one of the reasons that I believe Satan tries to get marriage problems and divorces and all this and wreck the family? The marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. The husband is a picture of Christ. The wife is a picture of the bride of Christ. And you see, if a marriage falls apart, that wrecks the picture. And so on, and there's another reason, see? But he's pointed out, as the husband is the head of the wife, Christ is the head of his bride, and so on. Now, verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. Now, this is the commandment of God. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now, there's a lot of responsibility on the husbands. Primarily, most wives know, and so on and so forth, that they are to be in subjection to their husbands. But, brethren, we must remember that we are commanded to love our wives. It doesn't say just love them if you want to. We are commanded to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And Christ's love for the church was a sacrificial love. A sacrificial love. He purchased his bride with his own precious blood. I sometimes think that it might be a good idea if we purchased brides today. Oh, you say, Brother Ben, you're out on a limb now. Well, maybe I am. But you know, in some countries, they still buy their brides. You know, today, some no good bum can walk off with a prize maiden for the price of a marriage license, a lot of times. And maybe the maiden's even paid for the marriage license. I want to tell you something. I'm inclined to think that if a young fella had to come up with 7 years labor like Jacob did, or maybe $25,000, the bride-to-be would be pretty convinced that he loved her. Instead of the guy saying, well, you love me, let's go to bed together, prove it. Oh no, how about $25,000? I bet you after he got married, he'd go pretty good. She would know that he loved her, and he would prove it by the $25,000 or whatever. Jacob worked 7 years. 7 years out in the old hot sun desert. And you know what? It says it seemed like just a few days because it's great love for her. Great love for her. If it's genuine love, if it's of the Lord, it'll stand the test of time. Okay, well, let's move on just a little bit, Father. Colossians chapter 3. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, that's verse 18, as unto the Lord. Sisters, you know when you realize you're doing this as unto the Lord, you know that really makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? Lots easier. Well, isn't what the Bible says? I do it as unto the Lord. And that makes it a lot easier.
And again, Colossians says in chapter 3:19, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents and so on. I believe that's about as far as I'll try to go today. I'm going to recap this just a little bit tomorrow. And tomorrow I want to talk about some of the problems and things that cause us, not always divorce, but unhappy homes. And what I would hope that we can kind of accomplish here is maybe even though some of you have a fairly happy marriage, and that's great, maybe it can be enhanced. You take a new house, and after a while that new house may need a little painting. Even the plumbing may go wrong, or this or that. And maybe some marriages could be enhanced a little bit. Shall we pray? Loving God and Father, we come to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, your blessing upon these remarks and your word of God that's been brought before us. And Father, we pray earnestly that even some good marriages might be enhanced and be happier. And Father, we pray for these young singles here that this will be helpful to them in perhaps choosing a marriage partner and setting up a home. And we pray for your blessing on this, Father. We hope that this will be a profitable time together. We ask it, Father.